what God's doing around here. Amen. And I look around and I see all the many changes and the blessings. I'm not talking about the sanctuary. I'm talking about what I see in your souls.
Amen.
What I feel when I see the smile on your face. I'm a seeing that God's doing a work in your life.
Amen.
And I hope when you see me that you can see God's working on me too.
Amen.
In fact, I'll be honest with you. I'm just as excited as I've ever been to preach the gospel, and maybe more so. I was telling Brother Remington coming down the road, this COVID thing, man, it's been such a challenge.
Yes.
But it's been just a little blip in the highway.
Oh, yes.
God has been so good. He has blessed so much.
Yes.
He has overcome so many problems.
Right.
It is unbelievable what my God has done.
Amen.
And He's just opened the treasures of His Word, and He speaks to our hearts, and I thank Him for what He's doing. And then Brother Aaron felt led to ask us to come tonight, and I'm honored, preacher, to be part of the tremendous Tuesdays that you have set up for this month in the month of March. And I'm so thankful that I can just be the little dwarf and bring these giants in here a little bit and let them preach over these coming weeks and just watch what God's going to do. In fact, I hope to be back a time or two, if not all of them, if I can. Now tonight I have a simple scripture on my heart, and it is one that if you're not careful when I announce it, you'll just turn me off and say, I know all about that, I've got it. But there is a problem if you're not careful of being familiar, because familiarity breeds contempt. And tonight you'll miss what God has for you. It's found in the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And I'll ask you, when you found your place, if you would turn with me, or stand with me in honor of the good word of God. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, I thank You for the privilege of being back in Your house. Lord, I ask now that You would touch us and You would help us. Lord, the necessity is laid upon me to share the word. And Father, I know, I confess, I acknowledge that I cannot. But Lord, You're the one who called me. It's Your word. It's Your spirit. It's Your son. God, would You help me then tonight to present the Word of God clearly by the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost? Would You help me, God, tonight to rightly divide the Word of truth, that I might be a help and an encouragement to someone along life's weary road? Father, I thank You for this church. I thank You for this pastor and his precious family. Lord, these folk, they're dear to our heart. Lord, would You help them to grow? God, would You send the wagons? God, would You set on bread? God, would You do a work through this church? Save souls, God, I pray. Give them the increase, Lord. We're looking for You to do great things tonight. Lord, would You help us? In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I thank You for standing with us tonight. You may be seated. The Bible says in verse 1, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say, God is my shepherd. Elohim is my... He said, the Lord, there's significance there. It is the Lord that demands righteousness. The Lord that dispenses of his righteousness when I don't have any of my own. He said, he is my shepherd and I shall not want. It's interesting to me that David was a shepherd. He knew a lot about shepherding. He knew a lot about the flock. He knew a lot about the sheep. And I believe that David, as he's maturing in age, he looks back over that flock that he was a shepherd over. And he said, Lord, like those sheep were part of my flock, Lord, I am a sheep of your flock. Amen. And the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. Amen. Now, David knew something about the sheep. He knew that they were dumb. Preacher, you started this meeting calling us sheep dumb. What's amazing, because you go off and you can train horses and you can train lions and tigers and bears and dogs and birds, but when was the last time that you saw a sheep that was trained? In fact, I just want to point out that Nicodemus was a ruler or a master. He understood religion very thoroughly. But when he heard Jesus say, you must be born again, he did not understand it. The Lord said, art thou a master in Israel and you don't understand these things? Do you know why? Sheep are dumb. Amen. We're dumb. True. Sheep are defenseless. Some animals, they can kick. Some animals are fast. They can run. Some animals got big teeth, they can bite you. Some animals got big claws, they can claw at you. Even a skunk can spray you. But what can a sheep do? He doesn't have big teeth, fast legs. He's slow, he's defenseless. In fact, a sheep, he's directionless. He's in need of shelter. He needs someone to be a shepherd over him, because sheep are prone to wander. They're prone to go astray, to go off on their own. Yes. David said in Psalm 119, verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Yes. Isaiah said, all we have gone astray like sheep. We have turned everyone to his own way. David understood what it was like to be a lost sheep, prone to wander, prone to go astray. In verse 3, he makes a statement. There's a phrase there that God has me very interested in. I've never preached from this passage before. The Bible says, he restoreth my soul. My shepherd restoreth my soul. Amen. Just as much as David knew about shepherding and as much as David knew about sheep and the flock, David understood what it was like to be in need of restoration. When I turn back to the book of 1 Samuel, reading about David in chapter 20, in 1 Samuel chapter 20, we know that God has sent Samuel to anoint David as king. Saul has been rejected. David went and fought Goliath, that great giant. Saul has brought David to his house, because an evil spirit is upon Saul. But when David plays the harp and sings those sweet psalms, it calms Saul's spirit. And Saul has David a place at Saul's table. But when Saul heard the women singing, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. Saul said, what more can he have but the kingdom? They have ascribed to me but 1,000. But to David, they have ascribed 10,000. I'll keep my eye on him. He hated him. And man, how he's waiting for an opportunity to get him. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, we read in verse 24. So David hid himself in the field. And when the new moon was come, the king, Saul, sat down to eat meat. And the king sat upon his seat as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. David was gone from that place. Number one, I see a missing man. Because of Saul's sin, because of Saul's hatred for David, David is absent from mealtime. Everybody could see that David is not there. His seat was empty. I'm talking to somebody right now. You have an empty seat that used to be occupied at your home. Maybe death has come, or the kids have grown off and they've moved off. I'm talking, there's a seat empty, and everybody knows it. It's obvious to everybody. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought, something hath befallen him. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meet, neither yesterday nor today? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now, if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me go away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore, he cometh not unto the king's table. Now we know that David is absent. We know that Saul tried to kill David a number of times. We know that Saul was killed, and David is now made king of a united kingdom. David served God, and David fell off into sin with Bathsheba. And you may say, Preacher Darren, it was a time of war. He ought to be an off on the battlefield, right? But instead, he's on the roof of his palace, looking off over the city. And there's Bathsheba. She's washing herself. Oftentimes, we give Bathsheba a hard time. Why would a woman wash out in the open like that? Well, if you read the scripture, she was unclean, and she would have to go to the mikvah, where the water is set up for ceremony, and she had to wash in a certain way, with the water a certain way, and the walls were great big and high, and the only way you could see over was if you were in the wrong place at the wrong time, seeing over a wall that you shouldn't be looking over. And David began to lust for her, and he called for her, and he had an adulterous relationship with her. She conceived a child. He sent her husband off on the front of the battlefield to have him killed, and so David could come in and sweep her off his feet and have his way and marry her. And now we know that David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, in Psalm 51, turn there with me, he's for 9 months. He has tried to cover up his sin. He thought he's got away with it. And a man of God by the name of Nathan came in and said, a certain man had one little lamb, and his neighbor came and took that one lamb away from him. What should be done to him? He said, I'll tell you what ought to happen to him. He ought to be killed. He ought to be put to death. And he ought to have to restore that man fourfold. And Nathan said, thou art the man. And David said, oh, I've sinned. Did you know for 9 months, David sat on the throne? He was reigning. He was ruling. He was there in his seat. But truthfully, in his heart, inside, he was missing. Preacher, I'm not following you. I'm talking to somebody. Not you see me in the pulpit. I see you in the pew. But just because I see you and just because you see me doesn't mean I'm here. I'm talking to somebody not you watching online. You listen to me. You've checked out. There's something going on in your fellowship with God that has caused you to be absent, though you look like you're present. And here tonight, the first time we saw David absent, it was obvious to everybody. But tonight, when we see David, it's not obvious. But the man of God knew, as the Holy Ghost told him, and God sent me down here to tell you, Preacher Darren, are you saying I'm in some adulterous affair? No, I'm telling you there's something going on in your life, some distraction, some complaint. I was preaching in South Carolina, brother. I was preaching. I stood back there in the back. The pastor, his wife, and a deacon was back in the back shaking hands with me as people were going out, and a lady came. She said two sentences to me and then began to pour out her hurt. I mean, nothing more than about 5-10 minutes just dominating everything going on. I said, ma'am, let me pray with you. I stopped. I empathized with her. I had prayer with her. And the next night I came back to that. Here she came again. Two sentences. Dominated again about her hurt. I dreaded to go to the back of the building to shake hands because I knew here she comes and all she's got to talk about is her complaint. She is blinded by her complaint. She's there, but she's missing. She's there, but she's absent. She's there, but she's not listening to what's going on in the services. All she has is a complaint. Your life at this point has turned into one big, long complaint. And it's absolutely destroying you. You're weeping and crying and tore out of the frame. You're in need, say amen, of restoration. David confessed his sin. And in verse 12, I could preach this whole chapter, but verse 12, David said, Psalm 51:12, restore. There's our word. David knew what it was like to be in need of restoration. He knew what it was like to be absent when he was really present. He knew what it was like to be out of fellowship with God, and it was misery. Amen. It was worse than death. Not to enjoy what God is doing amongst his people. Amen. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then, there's a word, then. Then is a word of time. He said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You know what he just said? He's missing from the classroom. He said, I used to teach people, train people, instruct people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I used to tell them about God and how good God is. But because of my sin, because of my complaint, because of my issue, no longer my teaching, no longer my training, no longer am I sharing the Word of God as I used to. I'm not using my positive influence in the ministry. Though I'm present, though I'm in the pulpit, though I'm in the classroom, though I'm in the pew, I am away from God. I am just fulfilling and playing a role. But if, Lord, you would restore me, then I'll teach again. Then I'll instruct again. Then I'll have influence again. Psalm 34:11, come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you to fear the Lord. Look with me here in verse 14. He says, deliver me. Our word is then deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. He's missing not just from the classroom, but from the choir. He's saying, because of what's going on in my life, though I stand up here to sing, though I sing in the congregation, I'm lip syncing. I'm mouthing the words, but I'm not singing from my heart anymore. Sin has silenced his song. He is absent. And he says, Lord, I'm filled with blood guiltiness. That's two words run into one. He said, I'm doubly guilty. Sin of adultery, guilty. Sin of murdering her husband, guilty. I'm doubly guilty. Blood guiltiness. But look what he says behind it. He says, O God, thou God of my salvation. I'm doubly guilty, but I've got a God, thou God, O God, two times. He's big enough to take care of my double guilt. He's big enough to forgive all my sins. He's forgiven. He's big enough to restore me back to a place of service unto Him. God is merciful. He's gracious to forgive. Need I remind you of a truth I've heard this preacher say, Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That means when sin is this deep, grace is that deep. Amen. Amen. Are y'all okay? Amen. Look at verse 15. He says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. He says, Lord, now I can't praise you anymore. Lord, I can't witness. Lord, I can't testify. Lord, I can't serve you. His ability and his authority have withered. His strength has been stolen. Now we're talking about David. Come here, I want to tell you something. Do you remember what David said when he came down there to check on his brothers? When Goliath was down there cursing and defying the Lord God and the armies of God? Listen to what he said. He was willing to open his mouth then. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He said, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Amen. David could speak then. David could open his mouth for the glory of God. And David could war and defeat giants. But something has happened. Though David is the king, and though David is in charge, and though he's a man of authority, though he's a man of power, he's missing, though he's present. Are y'all okay? Y'all are looking at me funny like I disagree with everything you say. I'm going to start amening myself in a minute. You see, when David heard Nathan say, one man had one little lamb, and David said, he ought to be killed. He ought to be destroyed. He ought to have to restore fourfold. His words of authority rang hollow because we all know that David was the missing man. I feel like the Lord is trying to get your attention tonight. There's someone, Fellowship, Baptist Church, its visitors, and those online, you're missing. In action. MIA. And tonight, God has sent Jesus to come to you and restore you to a place of service. He wants to restore you to a place of power. He wants to restore you back to a right relationship with Him. And I'm excited about that. Number two. While we're here, there's a marvelous message found in chapter 51, verse 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. David said, Lord, when I'm restored, I will stand bolder than I ever stood. I will stand humbler than I've ever stood. And I will stand and glorify you like I've never glorified you before. You see, there's just something about trouble. There's just something about going through problems that'll help you. Verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. He's not interested, preacher, in you bringing a bullock up here, trying to impress everybody with how big the bullock was and how bloody it was and how much you'll give to it. He's not impressed with that. The sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. David said, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, is my shepherd. Everybody goes around saying, oh, God's a God of love. Just tolerate, love everything. Lovey, lovey, lovey. He loves. Yeah, he does. He blesses. Yes, he does. But the other side of that coin is that he is the Lord Jehovah. And he demands righteousness. And when he sees you and he sees me, our righteousness is filthy rags. What will we do to fix that? I'll go to church. I'll serve. I'll sing. I'll shake hands. I'll go. Honey, it won't work. One time I was driving down the road and I saw an old truck pulling a great big long trailer, and it was pressed down with all kinds of wood. And I'm telling you, it looked like the axles and the wheels was like this. It was just pressed under. I was reading the scripture about how God is pressed under, how he is displeased with our unrighteousness. Preacher, there's no way I could press God down. I can take you to the scripture. I can show you. You're pressing him down. You want to come in here and act like your sin doesn't hurt him? I'm telling you it does. It does. It's costing you your fellowship. It's hurting him. But the same God that demands righteousness and the same God that says, listen, I'm upset, I'm bothered, I'm concerned about your unrighteousness, but I know you can't do it on your own. So he took your sin, your adultery, your murder, your lying lips, your gossip, your backbiting, whatever your sin is, whatever it is, your greed, your lust, your pride, your envy, your hatred, your malice, God took it and laid it on his son, and he carried it up Calvary's hill, and he shed his blood, laid down his life, that you might be restored. That you don't have to be second class. That you don't have to be third class. That you, hallelujah. That you don't have to hang your head in shame. That you could say, my Savior has forgiven my sins and he saved me and restored me back into fellowship with him.
Well, Preacher Darren, that's Old Testament verses. Every time you come, it's Old Testament.
I'm so glad, honey, you thought that, because the Holy Ghost done showed up and gave me something to go with it. In the book of Luke, chapter 6, he restoreth my soul. Let's see it in Luke, chapter number 6. We see, thirdly, and I'll be done, our marvelous master. Luke 6, verse 6. Now, in the first 5 verses, his disciples are with him, and they're going through a field of corn or a field of grain, and it's the Sabbath day, and they're hungry. And they plucked the grain, and they ate it. And the Pharisees were mad, because how dare you reap and eat and partake on the Sabbath? Now, Jesus was right there. And Jesus did not restrain them, and Jesus did not rebuke them. In fact, he said, he's the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for you to have rest. Amen. And the Pharisees wrote the Mishnah, which added on to all the law of God about things you could or couldn't do, especially concerning the Sabbath. You can't take a bath, Harrison, on the Sabbath day, because you might have to wipe up water, which is considered work. You can't travel but so far. You can't light a fire. You can't cook. You break the Sabbath. And they added all these things. And now these disciples, they have come through eating. And the Pharisees on the Sabbath day are tore out of the frame. Let's fast forward one more week. Verse 6. It came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and he taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew the thoughts. And he said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up, stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it?
And please notice, they had no answer. They had no response, no rebuttal, not even, come on, man. They said nothing. And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored, whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. What is Jesus' intention? He went into the house of God, the synagogue, that Sabbath day. His intention was to teach the Word of God. His intention was to read a book of the law, a book of the poets, and a book of the prophets, to read and share the Word of God to those in attendance. He's also there not just to teach, but he's there to reach. Amen. It's why I came tonight. Amen. He's there to try to reach someone, to restore someone, to help someone. Amen. Listen to their inquisition. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? This they thought, to accuse Jesus of wrongdoing. Is it lawful to have a Tuesday night prayer meeting and not have it on Wednesday? I mean, who would do such a thing? I want you to know I'm against it. Well, la-di-da-da. I hope to still be preaching when you come back next Wednesday. Hey, man, I hope you have the greatest meeting. Preacher, we won't be back on Wednesday for a month. Hey, man, a month-long revival, wouldn't that be a dandy? Hey, man, will you hear? I want to read something, how he instructs them. I want to read it out of Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, let's turn there. Hold your place here. Matthew 12. Too many scriptures, preacher. I heard you. I heard somebody's Bible when you opened it. It went, you either need to use it more or get WD-40. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 11. Parallel passage. He said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? He said to them Pharisees, you boys telling me, is it lawful to heal on Sabbath day? What if one of y'all had a sheep? A dumb, defenseless, directionless sheep, and it falls in a pit. Oh man, I'll stop what I'm doing. My sheep is in a pit, and I'm going to get it out. Jesus said, how much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. He said, you know what? This man, he is my sheep. I'll heal him if I want to. Now, go back with our text. Luke chapter 6, we're done. I want you to see Jesus' invitation. He knew their thoughts while they were trying to attack him and to accuse him and his disciples. And he said to the man, rise up, stand forth in the midst. He didn't call the man's name. He didn't say Nathan, Remington, Harrison, Aaron. He didn't say that. He said, rise up. Amen. That man knew who he was talking to. Amen. And when he rose up, nobody stood with him. Not one of them accusing, attacking Pharisees dared stand up with him. Amen. But he rose up. I want to say the invitation from Jesus is to the peerless. This man came to the house of God to receive help, strength, love, comfort, prayer. And the Pharisees gave him nothing. Not even hello. They were unfriendly. They were callous. They treated him terribly. But Jesus knew he was there. And Jesus said, rise up and stand forth. He knew that man needed to be restored. He said it to the pitiless. The Pharisees and religious leaders had mercy on sheep, but not on men. Men of their own race, men of their own congregation, men of their own affiliation, they could care less about. But Jesus, moved with compassion, said to the peerless and the pitiless, stand forth. He said to the powerless. I mean, this man, he couldn't do anything with his hand. It was completely withered away. But Luke, the beloved physician, gives details about him. The Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 6 that it was his right hand. All the other gospels just says he has a withered hand. But Luke, who's a physician, paid close attention that it was his right hand. Now that's interesting to me tonight, because the left side of your body represents the flesh, the old man. And the right side of your body represents the spiritual side. David said, I looked on my right hand, and behold, refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. As I read Mark chapter 3, the parallel passage, he used an interesting word. He didn't use the same word for withered that Luke did. He used the Greek word zeranu, which indicates that hand has not always been withered. It's as if something has happened to him that has caused his hand to be paralyzed, withdrawn. I wonder what it was. Maybe at one time this man was useful. This man served the Lord. But something happened in his life, and he's no longer in the choir. He's no longer in the congregation. He's no longer amongst the people. Oh, maybe he's there, but he's of no use anymore. He's of no service. His right hand is withered. In fact, he's dried up now. A withdrawn hand means it's dried up on spiritual things. Becoming withered or paralyzed means something has severed it from the head. That head is Christ. Something has caused him to get out of fellowship with God. Think for a minute. Brother Aaron, I would shake your hand and have fellowship with you, but you can see my right hand of fellowship's withered. We can't fellowship anymore. That's because of COVID. That's what they'd like for you to believe. Right. Some of you are so thankful for COVID that you don't have to shake hands with old so-and-so anymore. Amen. Can I give you a verse of scripture? The Bible says in Galatians 2:9, when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. But I can't fellowship anymore. I can't fellowship at fellowship. My hand's withered. I got hurt. You know what else you do with your right hand? I've seen it tonight. You offer the sacrifice of praise. You put them hands up. Paul wrote 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. When everybody else is praising God, he says, I can't do it. I got hurt. My hand's withered. I'm out of fellowship. I don't have any praise. Nothing I can do about it. You know what else you do with your hand? He can't practice in sincere giving. When thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Well, preacher, I would give, but I've got cirrhosis of the giver. And it's a bad disease that suddenly overtakes me when they pass the offering plate and they want to give towards this new remodeling and reconstruction. I ain't for it. What's a chandelier? Ain't nobody knows how to play it. So I'm just not going. You know what? Look at me. This is you. You can't fellowship with nobody. You can't give anymore. You can't serve. You don't want to praise God anymore. All you want to do is the pooch lip, and you're about to trip over it. You can't practice serving God. The Bible says that 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Preacher, when are you going to be done? When you listen. In 1 Thessalonians 4:11, that you study to be quiet and do your own business and work with your own hands. Work. I can't work. I need the government to help me. In fact, I really think the church ought to have to help me too.
Right. Oh, amen. Help him, Lord. Go ahead.
Well, I can tell you like it. You know what else he does? Carries the word with his hand. He can't carry the sword. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
Preacher, I can't carry it no more. I can't carry that word no more. It hurt. Out of fellowship. You just don't know what's happened, Preacher Darren. How dare. Listen, he's made an invitation to the peerless, to the pitiless, to the painless. When this injury first occurred, for sure it was excruciating. The nerves are severed. Come here, I'll tell you something. Some years ago, the doctor said I had a fatty tumor. He thought it was cancer in my neck. And I went to see a young doctor. He said, man, that's going to take this and this and this and this. And I went to see an old doctor. He said, well, it's a fatty tumor. He said, if I can shine a flashlight through it, he said, I think I can get it out. I said, Lord God, you get a flashlight, get a flashlight. He got up there and he went to cutting on that thing. And he said, ooh, I hate it when that happens. Something warm ran down my back. It was blood. Oh, man. I went home. Couldn't drive home. Next morning, I woke up, couldn't type my notes. It was my right hand. He cut a nerve in my neck that cut out my shoulder and my entire arm. I went to have a test done and they put needles in my arm. I didn't feel it. Went to electrodes, connected them all together with wires, and I'm sitting there and my arm is bouncing like this as they put electricity to it. I don't feel a thing. It's completely numb. And he said, well, he said, you're young. I believe a nerve grows such and such amount. The Lord will bless you for it to come back together and get you back to 85%, Lord willing. You got to do therapy, you got to do this. I thought, therapy, I don't know about no therapy. Let me tell you something, honey. I would preach and I couldn't move my arm. I would stand at the back and people would come out and I would do all I could to shake hands. And this bone right, there's a shoulder blade. It's suppressed all the time by this muscle. And I'm telling you, I couldn't feel it. I couldn't hold it down. And you could look at me and my coat would be just like this with my shoulder blade kicked up just like this. And I would go to the fellowship, when a fellowship hall when the service was over, and I'd weep and cry from the pain that I was in. And I'd say, I'm not going back there again tonight. And I'd go right back on Sunday night because I love my people and fellowship with them all I could. But there came a point in time, preacher, that got numb. And I didn't feel it anymore. Didn't mean I could use my arm. See, I'm preaching this message because I've had personal experience with it. Tonight I'm telling you, you're out of service. You're a missing man, a missing woman. And you don't even realize it now because it's been so long, you've gotten numb. Now your numbness, your inability to feel pain, doesn't mean that there's not still a problem. And Jesus has come that he might clarify your problem and restore you back into service greater than you used to be. There came a day, little by little, I started getting feeling back. And I didn't get back to 85%. I got 110. God gave me more than I had to start with. Because I suffered through that for his glory, that he might help me. And he took me to this passage about this right hand. And I'm telling you, it's priceless. Jesus said to the man, stand forth in the midst. And he stood forth and Jesus said, look with me, stretch forth thy hand. Are y'all looking at me? Look at me. Rise up. Stand forth. Can you see the man? Rise up. Stand forth, stretch forth my hand. He didn't put out his left. He didn't put out his left. He took the one that was withered. He took the one that was weak. He took the one that was unable. And by faith, he began to move it in humility. And when he did, the Lord restored it whole. They tell me if your arm was to dry up and wither away, the only way you get movement again, it's got to be a matter of the blood supply. Hey, how? I feel like jumping, swinging off one of these chandeliers, amen, and see if I can grab the next one. He's given us a new blood supply, and he's helped us, and he's restored us tonight. Now, I don't know who you are. And I know you're thinking, if I go up there, what am I going to do? Well, I'll tell you what, if you go up there, there's going to be some people filled with madness. is it, Preacher Darren? Come here, I'll tell you. The devil.
Amen. Amen.
Devil's going to be mad. Have any of y'all, beside me, ever been out of fellowship with God? And you tried to keep going. You tried to keep serving, and but man, you was miserable. But there came a day, didn't there? That a desire came to your heart to say, you know what? I want to be used again.
Yes. Amen.
I want to see our church used of God.
Amen. Go ahead, preacher.
We've been grieving. We just can't seem to want to really go forward, but all of a sudden we've got a grip.
Right.
We got a bite.
Yeah.
And steps are starting to go forward.
Amen.
Forward.
Yeah.
And you feel like running. God restoring. Amen. Oh, He's restoring your soul, yes. Church. And there's nothing like it. David said, when I'm restored, I'll teach transgressors thy ways. Sinners will be converted. I'll open my mouth. I'll sing from my heart. I'll testify. I'll praise your name. I'll serve you in a greater capacity than I ever have. You see, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Hey, you stand to your feet. I've just preached what the Lord laid on my heart. But there's somebody here. You need help. There's somebody here. You ought to hit the altar and say, God, I remember what it was like to be out of fellowship. I want to thank you for speaking to me. I want to thank you for restoring me. I want to thank you, God. I want to praise you. Lord, I'll pray right now. God, I've got a friend. I've got a daughter. I've got a son. I've got a parent. I've got a... Lord, I've got a need. And tonight, I know restoration is needed. God, I'm praying about that tonight. Anybody, will you come? God bless y'all. Anybody else you need to come? Anybody. He restoreth my soul. And because He's done it for me, I desire it for others. Would you come? Folks are moving. Folks are moving. Thank you, Brother Nathan. Your head's bowed. Nobody's looking. We're not singing. We're just trying to be obedient. He restoreth my soul. Do you desire that tonight? Do you desire that for your family? Do you desire it for your marriage? Do you desire it for your home? Do you desire it for the church? Would you come? Hoax are coming. Woo! He restoreth my soul. A present participle, continual action. He's constantly restoring me because I need it so desperately. Lord, tonight, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you, Father, for the beauty of the text. But most importantly, I thank you tonight that the Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want. You choose the pasture. You choose the water brook. You choose to restore. God, as I look to you and I ask you, God, would you lead me then in paths of righteousness for your name's sake? Lord, I'll follow you. I've learned what it's like to be astray. I don't want to go astray, Lord. I want to go with my shepherd. Lord, I ask tonight now, God, you've restored and restored again. And Lord, there's needs tonight. Lord, would you restore? Would you help? Just as you restored that man's hand. Lord, there's a need tonight. Someone in need of restoration of service. Someone in need of restoration of fellowship. Someone in need of restoration in giving and in praising. Someone tonight, God, needs to stand up before we leave and say, I just want to thank God for saving me. I just want to praise Him for what He's doing for me. God, would you give them faith and courage? Lord, and then there's others that need to hear Him say it, Lord. Lord, I want to thank you for restoring my sin-sick soul. Woo! And when you restored me, you made me better than I was to start with. A greater place of service and a greater capacity to serve with. Thank you for it, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah.
I really feel like God's got somebody tonight in mind. He's wanting to take you to a whole new level. He wants to give you the increase when the world says decrease. The world says COVID, government restrictions, state restrictions. You can't do this and you can't do that. But God said, I'm not interested in giving you the decrease. I'm interested in giving you the increase. And I'm wanting to raise you up a level.
Amen, preacher.
Now I'm just going to tell you, for every new level, there's a brand new devil.
So true.
Come on, preacher.
God is faithful.
Amen.
God is gracious. God is merciful.
Amen.
Truth. And he will.
Yes, he will.
Amen.
Amen, preacher. Amen. Well, you know, you always get to the end of services like this and you don't know what to do. Is everybody minded the Lord tonight? You look at the back at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Listen to this. His mother looks at the servants and says, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it.
Yes.
Is anybody in here tonight that needs to mind the Lord? Maybe there's something you need to say. Anybody.
You do. Because, you hear me? You do because he's worthy.
Amen.
And you do because God has somebody here that he sent that's broken, that needs to hear you testify what God's done for you.
Amen.
And it's going to encourage them.
Yes.
I don't know who it is, but I believe with all my heart, you need to share something. I beg you, somebody needs to hear it. Can you encourage somebody? Anybody?
Anybody at all? Everybody minded the Lord tonight?
You know, it's hard when you walk through life and you deal with the devils that you say. If you say a new level, the Lord blessed us around here. We've had new levels.
Yes.
But there's been new devils.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And whenever the old flesh starts to dribble.
True. Yes.
Amen.
Oh, God brings you back to where you're supposed to be.
Amen.
Thank God.
Amen.
Let me tell you something else about God. God blesses when you get out of your comfort zone.
Sure, yes.
You read your Bible, one or the other. There's someone here tonight that's telling themselves right now, I'm just not good at speaking. Neither was Moses.
Yeah.
How'd that turn out? Anybody else need to say something tonight? Anybody else?